Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We are following as closely, I guess, as you are, the results coming out of the so-called Chesapeake Bay primaries, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. It looks like it's going to be a sweep for Barack Obama, with Virginia and D.C. already declaring Obama the winner, and still waiting for Maryland. But I think it's a foregone conclusion that Barack Obama is going to win all three. It'll be interesting to see what sort of pressure this applies to the Clinton campaign, don't you think? We're going to get to that in just a second. A couple other items I want to cover a little bit first. Oh, by the way, don't forget, Scott Ritter and I will be in Phoenix Saturday, February 23rd for a get-together sponsored by Nova M Radio and KPHX. If you haven't got a ticket yet, come on, get one. They're not that expensive. We want to see everybody there that can possibly come to this event. Just go to 1480kphx.com. And if you don't live in the Phoenix market, as they say, so what? You know, people that live in L.A., come on, you can make it. Oh, wait a minute. They're having a hockey game tonight. I think the L.A. Kings are playing tonight, so I don't think we're being covered live by KTLK. That's going to happen, so, you know, we just have to deal with it. Again, a couple of quick items here. This story is so insignificant in the great scheme of things, and maybe it isn't, but to me it is, but it's just so irritating. It's like, you know, cancer will kill you, but crabs will drive you crazy. You know, it's that kind of a story. And here's what it is. The sale of red roses and red gifts have been banned, or the sale of these has been banned by Saudi Arabia's religious police in the run-up to Valentine's Day. Officials from the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. That sounds like something that President Mike Huckabee might put into play in this country. Anyway, the virtue cops warned flower and gift shops in Saudi Arabia to remove all red items, including roses and wrapping paper, from their shelves. One florist told the Saudi Gazette, "They visited us last night, they gave us warnings, and this morning we packed up all the red items." In Riyadh, the capital, the ban came into force on Sunday and will remain until after February 14th. The authorities believe that celebrating Valentine's Day is un-Islamic and encourages relations out of wedlock, which are strictly forbidden. According to the Guardian of the UK, the crackdown has pushed up the price of the flowers on the black market, with some florists making deliveries in the middle of the night. Couples defying the ban placed orders for red roses weeks before the deadline. Some were sending online Valentine's cards, and others were planning to celebrate the day in neighboring countries, such as Bahrain, which has a more liberal approach to Islamic law. Saudi Arabia imposes a strict code which prevents unmarried men and women from socializing together. Relations outside marriage are banned and punishable. Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. No red flowers. It's just, what is worse? Communism under Mao or Islam under Saudis and these religious nutballs? The other thing, you talk about breathtaking arrogance. It's unbelievable. In the news in the past few days has been the report of the scientist for the Centers for Disease Control, who was disciplined, downgraded, and had his ass kicked because he blew the whistle on the fact that the trailers used by FEMA that contain formaldehyde are deadly to the people who live in them. He made this analysis at a time when a lot of people could have been spared the agony that they're going to suffer now, as they get older, from living in these little death traps that the Bush crime family put out there for the victims of Rita and Katrina. Well, you know, that I don't know how much attention that caught around the country. Probably not very much. Nobody gives a damn about what happened to the people in Mississippi Gulf Coast and New Orleans. Not really. Come on, our focus is someplace else. It's not on fellow Americans who were devastated and had their lives utterly and absolutely ripped into a million pieces. We just don't care. They can sit in their little formaldehyde-encrusted trailers forever and die. Nobody cares, with the exception a few religious organizations, a few volunteer organizations, a few people who are trying, who are struggling against monumental odds to help people get their lives back together in those areas. But nobody cares. Congress doesn't care. Bush doesn't care. State legislators don't care. The bulk of the American public, it's off the map. We just don't care. Now comes this story. Some of those thousands of trailers that have been sitting unused since they were purchased by FEMA in 2005 for the Gulf Coast hurricane victims are finally going to be put to use. That's right. You know what they're going to do? FEMA is going to put victims of last week's tornadoes into them. The tornadoes that ripped through Tennessee and Arkansas and Alabama, estimates are they destroyed about 517 homes and 61 mobile homes. Arkansas, about 300 more homes were destroyed, including a number of manufactured or mobile homes. The FEMA spokesmonster, James McIntyre, said today his agency still hadn't reached a firm number of how many mobile homes would be used from storage sites around the country. He said the majority of the mobile homes stored in Arkansas were unused and in good shape. Absolutely. Now, of course, everybody knows, even Congress, this do-nothing, filthy, creepy, crawly Congress has accused FEMA of playing down the danger of the formaldehyde contamination in the trailers. And this guy, McIntyre, the FEMA spokesman, said, no, the trailers are safe. The trailers are safe. So they're going to be taken to these places where people genuinely need help, and they're going to be given these trailers, just like some of the people who escaped Rita what was the other one? Katrina. The same trailers, same formaldehyde contamination, same death dealing, same thing for the old people and the babies that go in there. They will be able to breathe and absorb this stuff, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows these trailers are death traps. Doesn't matter. Congress ordered FEMA to stop selling or donating these trailers last year after discovering problems with formaldehyde. But Mr. McIntyre said FEMA determined these mobile homes are safe. God damn it! We don't care what the CDC says! We don't care what the scientists say, or the epidemiologists, or the people who understand this. We don't care! They're safe! They're safe because we say they're safe. Now, shut up and take your damn trailer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's how, I see a story like that, and I swear to God, it makes me just murderous. I feel a rage boil up inside of me that is just almost uncontainable. Nobody does anything. Nobody does anything. So the people who... how many people died? 20, 30, 35, 40, 28 dead across the South last week from the tornadoes. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, utterly and absolutely homeless. And now these filthy pigs at FEMA are going to come out with these formaldehyde-soaked trailers and say, Here you go. Compliments of your government. Son of a bitch. And Rick in San Diego writes, add to the list of topics for your show tonight the Senate voting to give the telecoms immunity from prosecution for their collusion with the government to spy on us. Could you read, if you have, a list of the Democratic senators who voted for this disgusting law? Sure, we'll do that. A couple of you wrote to me about that. Bob wrote to me about it. Sheila wrote to me about it. And we're gonna cover it when we come back. And regarding that vote, I have in front of me the longest sentence. This is almost Joycean in its length. This is something like you'd find in Ulysses. But it's the longest sentence ever spoken on the Molloy program when we come back. And it has to do with the vote today. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Anymore.
hours a day. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
21 past the hour. So the Senate voted today to shield from lawsuits these corporations, in this case telecoms, shield from lawsuits, which means give them protection for their lawbreaking. Do you have any doubts yet, still left, that this is corporatist America? Come on. If you break the law, you're going to have to face your day in court. Corporations, of course, corporations can't make decisions. People who run the corporations make decisions. Kind of an interesting anomaly there, don't you think? But anyway, the telecommunications giants now that help the government eavesdrop on people without court permission in violation of the law now have retroactive immunity. Now, if the telecoms get it, who's next? And retroactive immunity guarantees immunity going forward. Is the game over? Pretty much. The members of the Senate gathered today to vote on this. Obama voted against granting these pigs immunity. McCain voted to give them immunity. And Hillary Clinton decided not to show up to vote, even though she was in Washington, D.C. Huh? Now, I don't want to pick a fight with Hillary supporters or Obama supporters, but I've got to ask the Hillary Clinton supporters, if your candidate was there and refused to go on record as to whether or not she thinks corporations should be exempt from the law, what does that tell you about the candidate? Tells me volumes. But immunity for these telecoms means that these lying, thieving, holier-than-thou, cruel, rude, gauche, coarse, crass, cocky, corrupt, dishonest, debauched, degenerate, dissolute, buck-passing, hysterical, criminal, history-defying, finger-pointing, puppy-stomping, collateral-damaging, aspersion-casting, torturing, uncouth, spiteful, boorish, vengeful, jingoistic, homophobic, xenophobic, racist, sexist, ageist, fascist, audaciously stupid, brazenly selfish, lethally ignorant, genocide-ignoring, corporation-kissing, poverty-inducing, crooked, coercive, autocratic, high-handed, domineering, arrogant, inhumane, inbred, inept, insipid, incapable, incompetent, ineffectual, insolent, insincere, pompous, contemptuous, supercilious, gutless, spineless, shameless, avaricious, noxious, poisonous, imperious, merciless, graceless, tactless, brutish, brutal, backward-thinking, grandstanding, evolution-denying, irony-deprived, consciously depraved, conceited, perverted, bribe-soliciting, hellish, swell-headed, ethics-eluding, domestic, spying, narcissistic, undiplomatic, blustering, malevolent, demonizing, hectoring, Muslim-baiting, oil-company-hugging, armament-selling, nonsense-spewing, education-ravaging, whiny, insane, and scrupulous, lily-livered, greedy, fraudulent, delusional, fact-twisting, betraying, sellout, quisling, scaremongering, bastardly, cowardly, treasonous, constitution-shredding, oppressive, vulgar, antagonistic, tyrannizing, peace-hating, deadly, traitorous, swindling, pernicious, lethal, illegal, haughty, venomous, virulent, bloodthirsty, yellow-bellied, hypocritical, evil, Vichy Democrat asshats ought to be run out of D.C. for helping this to pass. We stole that from Will Durst by way of Bob. Who are the traitors? Who are the traitors? Who are the Democrats who jumped on board with the Republicans who have decided, hey, look, you know, this is corporatist America. What the hell? The game's up. Why pretend? The vote was 31 senators said, no, no, no. This is a nation of laws, not men. 67 senators said, no, no, no. This is corporate America. That bull hockey doesn't apply anymore. Screw your Constitution. Rockefeller, Evan Bayh, Daniel Inouye, Tim Johnson, Herb Cole, Mary Landrieu, Claire McCaskill, Mark Pryor, Blanche Lincoln, Dianne Feinstein, Ken Salazar, Tom Carper, Barbara Mikulski, Jim Webb, Ben Nelson, Bill Nelson, Kent Conrad, and Debbie Stabenow joined with every single sickening, disgusting, filthy Republican to make sure that corporate America is above the law. Unbelievable. It was every single Republican, wasn't it? Gee, I'd hate to find out I'm wrong on that. And it's not just immunity to telecoms. It expands FISA, the surveillance, and it doesn't have good things intended for the internet or email freedom or security. Jim Webb, same guy that voted against withdrawing our troops from Iraq. Jim Webb, the one that a lot of liberal Democrats busted their asses to see him get into the Senate. Oh man.
And we're guarding the civil liberties by monitoring the program on a regular basis, by having the folks at NASA, the legal team, as well as the Inspector General, monitor the program. And we're briefing Congress.
Yeah. NASA? You dumbass. You mean NSA? Peter writes in, Mike, as I understand it, the House version of this bill does not contain telecom immunity. Your listeners should call the representatives and tell them that they don't want that in the new FISA bill. I'm doing it now. Peter, yeah, that's a good idea, except for one thing. Peter, I will guarantee you, I'll bet you a steak dinner, it'll be there. It'll be in the House bill, even though it's not there now. Nick Giuliano, writing over at Raw Story, writes, after failing to strip immunity from the Senate bill, Senator Chris Dodd announced he would abandon his effort to block the bill with a filibuster, arguing that the House, which has passed an immunity-free bill, would be a better place to try to strip immunity from Congress's final piece of legislation. Dodd said in a conference call today with reporters and bloggers, quote, we lost every single battle we had on this bill, and the question is now, can we do better with the House carrying the ball on this bill, end quote. Well, Mr. Dodd or Senator Dodd, I can answer that. Hell no. Are you serious? Are you? you're not. Tell me you're not serious. Giuliano goes on, in an effort to move along the legislative process prior to a Friday deadline on the temporary measure, Dodd said he wanted the Senate to pass something, well, they did, so that both chambers can begin a conference committee. If the two chambers produce a bill containing immunity, Dodd said he would filibuster that conference report. Okay, let's wait and see what happens. Now, Glenn Greenwald, a blogger for Salon, had this today on this horrible act of the United States Senate. Let me share this with you. Glenn writes, it's worth taking a step back and recalling that all of this is the result of the December 2005 story by the New York Times, which first reported that the Bush administration was illegally spying on Americans for many years without warrants of any kind. All sorts of so-called controversy erupted from that story. Democrats everywhere expressed dramatic, unbridled outrage, vowing that this would not stand. James Risen and Eric Lichtblau were awarded Pulitzer Prizes for exposing this serious law-breaking. All sorts of committees were formed, papers written, speeches given, conferences convened, and editorials published to denounce this extreme abuse of presidential power. This was illegality and corruption at the highest level of government, on the grandest scale, and of the most transparent strain. What was the outcome of all that Sturm und Drang? What were the consequences for the president for having broken the law so deliberately and transparently? Absolutely nothing. To the contrary, the Senate has enacted a bill which has two simple purposes. One, to render retroactively legal the president's illegal spying program by legalizing its crux, which is warrantless eavesdropping on Americans. And two, to stifle forever the sole remaining avenue for finding out what the government did and obtaining a judicial ruling as to its legality. Namely, the lawsuits brought against the co-conspiring telecoms. In other words, the only steps taken by our political class upon exposure by the New York Times of this profound lawbreaking is to endorse it all and then suppress any and all efforts to investigate it and subject it to the rule of law. Glenn Greenwald, writing for Salon. This is astonishing. I'm sure people who regularly listen to this program get tired of my use of the adjective astonishing. Violating the law. And Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid say that impeachment's off the table. You know why? Because those two rat bastards are more concerned about the Democratic Party than they are about the survival of the Constitution of the United States. That's why. Clear-cut illegal actions at the highest levels of government, signed off on by George W. Bush, and nobody does a goddamn thing. Nothing. Nothing. Bill Clinton has some oral sex play with his girlfriend, and the whole goddamn country comes to a stop. And he gets impeached. This is unbelievable. Damn the Democratic Party. Damn it to hell. Damn the leadership of the Democratic Party. Unbelievable. So that most exclusive club on the face of the earth, the United States Senate, today identified itself as a criminal enterprise hell-bent on destroying what remains in this filthy Bush crime family-administered United States of America, this illusion of the rule of law. It's gone. This is precedent-setting. How many corporations are out there tonight? There were approximately 40 lawsuits against the telecoms for violation of the FISA law, for invading the personal privacy of people. 40 lawsuits that now go into the toilet. How many companies are out there, especially given the recent ruling on the Enron situation, that there can be no class action lawsuit, that there can be no a lawsuit against third parties who may have conspired with Enron to screw people out of their money and their security and their futures and their retirement. Do you understand what it means? It means as of tonight, lawbreaking by corporations has been sanctioned by the United States Senate. And Hillary Clinton didn't have the courage to show up and vote either way. Do you Clinton supporters have any? I have more respect for John McCain, who voted, hell no, let's not take away their immunity. Let's keep them immune. I'm a Republican. I believe in law breaking. I have more respect for that sorry, sour old man than Hillary Clinton, who didn't have the courage. She was in D.C. No, I'm not going to vote for it one way or the other, because then there's a record of what I voted for or against. And I've tried to lie my way out of my support for the Iraq War. How do I lie my way out of support for corporate criminality? Well, Mrs. Clinton, may I suggest from this humble little radio talk show host, you endorsed corporate criminality today, which doesn't surprise me at all. Not a bit. So now going forward, how many corporations out there tonight are just happy as pigs in feces, just happy as wallowing hogs? Oh boy, corporate criminality has now been sanctioned. Get our lawyers together. You know, all those class action lawsuits against us, all those individual lawsuits against us, whether we're pharmaceutical companies or tobacco companies or whatever the hell we are, engineering companies, structural engineering companies that built things that resulted in collapses and people dying. Get our lawyers out there fast, because it's a cakewalk from here on in. Corporate America can do anything it goddamn well pleases, and the American consumer, is that the right word, can piss off. Unbelievable. You think I exaggerate? I hopefully you don't. Hopefully you don't think there's an ounce of exaggeration here. Do you think there is a corporation in America tonight that doesn't have its legal department picking not only the FISA Act apart, but the new act, the new telecom thing, and plus the pressure now, the lobbying pressure on the House members who don't have a telecom immunity section to their version of this bill? How long do you think it'll be? Tomorrow morning? Midnight tonight, when such a provision will be inserted into the House bill? How long do you think it'll take, booby? Huh? How long? And to the Democratic Party, this tears it. This tears it for me. I swear to God, I cannot believe that there were twice as many senators in favor of corporate criminality as there were opposed to it. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Only 31 Democrats had the courage to vote for responsible action, to vote for rule of law, to say no, a criminal act is a criminal act. God. This has not been a good day. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. A couple of you have written in about, it's still not a done deal, this immunity law. Bruce in California, even though the Senate passed immunity today, it's still not a done deal. There was no immunity in the House version, therefore it must be returned to the House. There's still a chance there are enough patriots in the House to stop it. And I say to that, Bruce, no, it won't happen. The telecoms will win. We are in a corporatist society. There are not enough members of the House to insist on the rule of law any longer. There just aren't. unless it's about Bill Clinton having oral sex with his girlfriend. Then there are plenty who are screeching and screaming and clawing at each other for the rule of law. But those days are gone where it concerns telecom immunity. We'll see. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, no more than anybody else. But going on experience here with this Democratic-controlled House, it's not going to happen. It just won't happen. The corporations will get their immunity. So we'll just watch and wait, won't we? Teresa in Michigan says, correction on Stabenow, she voted no. And she sent me the link, senate.gov. And, yeah, I don't know why I had Debbie Stabenow being a traitor, when, in fact, Stabenow voted no. Don't strip the immunity out. Keep it in. Make the bastards be responsible. And Bridget writes, Mike, that was an amazing list of adjectives, and I couldn't agree more. And as angry and as outraged as I am, I haven't yet given up. Although the amendment stripped immunity from the bill, stripping immunity from the bill was defeated, the bill is not yet law. Even once the basic bill passes the Senate, it still needs to go to conference committee because the House had the good sense not to put immunity into their bill. I don't know if it will ultimately do any good, but I intend to do my usual telephone and email assault to try to get the House to not allow this obscenity out of conference. I just don't get it, Mike. The Dems actually have a chance to turn this country around and do something different, something that will actually serve the people, and they keep blowing it at every turn. It's almost as though Reid and Pelosi are pod people. How do we get people who have not been taken over by the aliens back into power? I don't have a clue. If you have any ideas, please share them, because our country is quickly slipping past the point where anything can pull it back from the dark side. Bridget. Well, I appreciate, you know, the looking for one candle burning in the darkness type of attitude that some of you have. Well, Mike, you know, the House bill didn't have that, so there's a chance. But again, I have absolutely zero faith. Anytime in the recent past, whether it's been the House, the Senate, by recent past, you know, the sort of history that Bush says doesn't exist. But in recent history, sorry, George, for the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, conference committees, members of the cabinet, Bush himself, the United States military, I don't care what the deal has been. Corporations win. Take a look at Iraq. Take a look at our glorious expedition to save the poor people of Iraq from the vicious dictator Saddam Hussein. Look at the result of that. Look at the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Look at anything you want to look at, truth seeker. Tell me where one time in 7 years, oh, let me change that, one time in 15 years, that corporations have lost one inch because of an insistence on the rule of law. Name one for me. Name one for me. And I'm not talking about individual court cases. I'm talking about every institution in this country, from the legislative branch to the executive branch to the judicial branch to the military to whomever. And the corporations have stomped. What did Orwell say? You want to see the future? It's a boot forever placed on the face of somebody groveling in the dirt. I appreciate the hope. Why curse the darkness when you can light one candle? Yeah. I understand all that. But can anyone show me one thing? Certainly not in the past 7 years, and I question the eight prior during the Clinton years, where corporate America was subsumed by the rule of law, or where the rule of law trumped corporate America. I mean, is there such a thing? So, we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight, too, because it's one more blot, smear, stain on what we used to be. George in Seattle wrote in, Mike, this is regarding the Guantanamo Six. That's what they're called now, the six terrorists? I don't know. Are they terrorists? We've been told they're terrorists, and they've been tortured into admissions, so who knows? Mike, George Bush is in a panic and cannot allow the so-called Guantanamo Six to live past his term in office. If a Democrat is elected president and the Guantanamo Six are allowed to talk, we may just find out what the reason these people were kept in isolation and were tortured until they confessed to involvement in 9/11 is, because they are some of the few rogue people left on the planet who have proof that the real planners and funders of 9/11 reside in the White House. George Bush wants to kill these people in secret trials with secret evidence so that their terrible secret of the Bush crime family's involvement in 9/11 dies with them. Okay, you know, you can say that there's some hyperbole in George's statement, but the place where I disagree with George here is if a Democrat becomes president, there's not going to be any investigation. Jesus Christ, just go back to 1992, 93, when Clinton took office. And the horror, the mass slaughter and murder and death squads and bloodbath that was Central America. And George Bush, on the first, on Christmas Eve, pardoned how many of the felons? 4, 5, 20, 1,000? And all the blood that soaked into the ground in 4 or 5, God knows how many Central American countries, just soaked in even further. There was no investigation. Clinton said, "Oh well, we're not going to, you know, we're trying to find some peace here in the United States. We're not going to be adversarial." Do you think the new Democratic president is going to be any different? I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Do you really? Come on, truth seeker. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. One last thing here. This is from Nick in New Hampshire regarding the FISA fiasco, the telecom immunity bill, whatever you want to call it. And this had to do with FISA. Remember, the telecom part was simply an amendment to the bill. And that was the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, that was really, truly, in the moment, deadly serious. The part that said, the amendment that said, well, the telecom companies shall be immune from any sort of prosecution retroactively for all their criminality. That's the part that was upsetting to me. So the larger bill was the FISA bill. And Nick writes, when Bill Frist was head dog in the Senate and Pat the Pig Roberts was chair of the Intelligence Committee, the Republicans could not pass the FISA bill with immunity for the phone companies. It took a change in power after the 2006 election, which placed Democratic Senators Harry Reid and Jay Rockefeller, who replaced Roberts as chairman of the Intel Committee, to get immunity passed. Go figure. When Rockefeller looks in the mirror, former congressman and traitor Lee Hamilton is staring back at him. These sons of bitches would sell their mothers and sisters. Nick in New Hampshire. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I had forgotten that a little more than a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, such a bill was attempted, and it didn't pass. But let the Democrats get control of the Senate, and it passes. Huh? This about the Guantanamo Six, and then we're going to take some phone calls. There's something else I want to get into a little bit later in the program. Mukasey, the Attorney General, and a little bit of his history. Some of you may know about this, but oh my God. Michael Chertoff, the satanic-looking head of U.S. Homeland Security, has insisted to the Guardian of the U.K. that the Guantanamo Six will be fairly tried. Son of a bitch. Evidence that's going to be used will come from torture. And Chertoff tells this British newspaper that, no, they're going to get a fair trial. Look, let me just say, if they're truly guilty of killing 3,000 people, then whatever the force of the law should be applied to them. But, oh, I'm not going to get into it. I don't have to tell this audience that there are questions beyond questions about torturing people into confessions and then conducting a Soviet-style show trial, a military tribunal Soviet-style show trial. Jesus God, we've sunk that far. Anyway, military prosecutors said they will seek the death penalty against the six. The Defense Department, which is leading the prosecution, issued 169 charges against them, including conspiracy, murder in violation of the law of war, attacking civilians, destruction of property, and terrorism. Michael Hayden, the director of the U.S. CIA, admitted for the first time last week that one of the suspects or detainees had been tortured. Speaking to the Washington Post, Vincent Warren, the executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, which has represented many of the Guantanamo detainees, said the cases were, quote, essentially show trials, end quote. He added, quote, they're being used to justify 6 years of lawlessness and barbarity this government has been doing, end quote. But Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, told the BBC there would be, quote, full due process. How can there be due process? These people have been held, some of them, for over 5 years. What amendment to the Constitution guarantees a speedy trial? What amendment to the Constitution guarantees legal representation and a right to counsel? I mean, Jesus Christ, Chertoff says, oh, well, they'll get full due process and defense lawyers and all of the fundamental rights it would bring to justice those who are responsible for one of the worst war crimes in world history. Really? I mean, it was horrifying, but one of the worst war crimes in world history? Hey, Chertoff, how does it compare to the slaughter of 200,000 indigenous people in Central America during the 80s, of which you rotten bastard, were a part of? How does that, is there any comparison? I guess not. No, of course not. Asked whether evidence extracted from torture, waterboarding, would be used, Chertoff said, quote, the judges will decide what's reasonably admissible and what's not admissible. So Chertoff, you see, has the temerity, and why not, to say to the BBC that all six of these alleged hijackers and killers and organizers of this plot against the United States, all of them, he says, will receive full due process. I can't go there, because if I do, then I start to go insane. You see, how does due process factor in when the Fifth Amendment has been violated, which says no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. The Sixth Amendment. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. And he'll be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. He'll be confronted with the witnesses against him. He will have a compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor. Huh? It just goes on and on. On and on. And Chertoff says, no, everything's being done by due process here. And again, if these six people are guilty of the murder of 3,000 people, then let's put them on trial. Criminal trial. We were not in war with anybody when this attack occurred. We were not at war with Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, where these murderers, if you believe the official story, came from. One was from Egypt, one was from Libya. 15 were from Saudi Arabia. So this was not a crime committed during a wartime. Put them on trial. Why wasn't Jose Padilla put on in public trial? He was accused of being a co-conspirator in detonating a dirty bomb in the United States, a nuclear bomb, a radioactive bomb. And when it finally came to the point where the government had to put up or shut up, it dropped that charge against him. And they said they had a confession. Son of a bitch. It's just not going to stop, is it? And if these six people are complicit in the murder of 3,000 people on American soil, again, put them on trial in a criminal court, let the full force of the law hit them. What about the Americans involved in the conspiracy to murder 200,000 Central Americans during the 80s, during the reign of terror known as the Reagan administration? What about them? Will they ever be put on trial? People like Chertoff, Elliot Abrams, who's the other guy? The guy whose head looks like a skull. No, well, not Armitage, but Chertoff and the Death Squad boy, the one who always goes around. Negroponte, thank you. No, that's not going to happen. But the Guantanamo Six, Michael Chertoff says, will have fair trials. Yes. The right to confront their accusers, the right to demand cross-examination, the right to hear testimony from those who might place them somewhere else other than the scene of the crime and might place them somewhere away from the conspiracy to commit the crime. Ah, all of that will be provided, right? And they'll have legal representation and a speedy trial. And if they can't afford legal representation, then by God, it'll be provided for them by the court. Right?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Kirk is calling from Worcester, Mass, listening on the internet. Hey, Kirk, welcome to the program.
Hey. Well, I heard you got the correction about stamina already, so I was going to give you something else. Well, one of the traitors, Mark Pryor, his only challenger is a Green, which makes her viable since there's no Republican, Rebecca Kennedy, Kennedy the 2008 .org is her website. Maybe you can get her on and try to help her campaign for the United States Senate.
Now, she's running against who?
Mark Pryor.
Mark Pryor, okay.
As a Green, she's the only opposition.
Okay.
There's no Republican that makes her viable.
All right. And it's Kennedy?
Like Ted Kennedy's name.
Yeah, Kennedy 2008.
Yeah, Kennedy the number 2008.org, yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll check it out. Thanks a lot, Kirk. I appreciate it. Julian, who's calling from Houston, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Julian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, I'm not trying to defend these telecommunications companies, but I wonder if they're more afraid of breaking the law than disobeying the Bush-Cheney crime syndicate.
The corporations are more powerful than any administration that could ever be in power in Washington, including Bush and Cheney. Bush and Cheney are part of that cabal, so it would be like the corporations resisting themselves. No, I don't think they're the least bit afraid. They cut a deal with Bush and Cheney. And the deal was that corporate America that has been worming its way into a control of this republic for the past 20 years, corporate America would be given a free pass on the first really, really massively important bill. And that would be the one that would grant them immunity retroactively to their unconstitutional lawbreaking. I guess the corporation can't do an I don't know, whatever. But their lawbreaking would be sanctioned by not just the administration, but also by Congress. So I don't think they're afraid of Bush and Cheney at all. I really don't.
You know, I'm more scared now of this country than I was all the Soviet missiles pointing at me when I was a kid back in the 80s.
I hear you.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate you checking in, Julian. Jamie is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, big fan, man. I just got some bad news. I'm hoping you can clear it up for me. Maybe it's not accurate. I heard that Obama voted to give the telecommunications companies immunity.
No, not true. He voted.
Thank you, God.
Yeah,
right.
He voted to strip out of the bill the amendment that did give them immunity. In other words, he voted, to put it in language you and I can both understand, because somebody had to do this for me, Barack Obama voted no, the telecommunication companies shall not be allowed to break the law. Hold the bastards responsible. Right. McCain voted just the opposite. Yes, the telecoms can break the law. Hillary Clinton.
Well, Air America is misreporting it.
Well, what are they saying?
Well, I just called you with what I thought they told me.
Well,
John Elliott, dumbass, said that, you know. Basically, that's what he told me, man. That's how he's reporting it. That Obama voted for it and McCain voted against it. And that's when I called you.
Well, he's got it just ass backwards.
Exactly.
Right. Well, John Elliott is not known for his insightful.
He sucks. And I miss you so bad on Air America, you know.
Well, you listened on Nova M.
Well, it's not as easy.
Well, it's not as easy, but, you know, we're available here. You ought to send John Elliott an email and tell him he's just got it ass backwards. And if you want the proof, just go to the Senate. I don't know why Elliott doesn't go to the Senate website and see how the votes came down. It's there for anybody who can, handle a computer. You can go.
Yeah, all I've got is a radio and a cell phone, so I got to rely on America sometimes. And
well, don't do that. Don't do that. But John Elliott has a computer.
Sure.
He should be able to go to the Senate.gov website, and the vote is right there.
Well, I'm so glad you set me straight, because when I heard that, I just about collapsed.
Okay, well, be careful of be careful what you believe. That's a problem I've had my entire life. Thanks, Jamie. I appreciate you checking in. Tammy is calling from Carl Junction, Missouri. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Well, hey, Mike, you'll have to excuse me. I've had a terrible cold.
It sounds like it. I hope you're okay now.
Well, I feel better. But let me tell you, that letter you got from that girl, is there anything we can do? No, there's nothing we can do because I busted my backside to get Claire McCaskill here in Missouri elected. And what all she has done since she took her oath of office is opposite of what we hired her to do. I'm so fed up with her. It doesn't matter. They're all a bunch of crooks. They're all a bunch of dang liars. And I think it's time to storm the Bastille.
Well, you remember what the
Bastille... Let them eat cake. My cake. That I'm going to stick, you know, where the sun don't shine.
You know what the Bastille was, right? A prison. Where people were beheaded. But I'm right with you, Tammy.
I've had it with them. Look, my kid and I believed their BS with 9/11.
I hear you. Hey, listen, I got to leave it right there, Tammy. I got to leave there, Tammy. We'll be right back.
Freedom isn't free tonight. We'll be right back.
great comfort in knowing that they don't know what they're talking about, because history takes a long time for it to reach. And there's no such thing as short-term history.
Oh, shut up. It's 26 before the hour. Last week, Attorney General Michael Mukasey, the one foisted on the American public by Democratic Senator from New York, Charles Schumer, Mukasey put any ambiguity to rest when he began his testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. Chairman John Conyers put it to him this way. Since administration officials have disclosed the CIA agents waterboarded three detainees, quote, are you ready to start a criminal investigation, end quote. The direct answer from Mukasey, no, I am not. His reasoning, according to Paul Kyle, writing, where was he writing? Where is this from? Where is this from? TPM Muckraker. His reasoning was a repeat of his answer to Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat of Rhode Island, last week. The CIA waterboarded those detainees with the authorization of a Justice Department legal opinion from the Office of Legal Counsel, OLC. So, the Justice Department, according to Mukasey, cannot possibly investigate. Because you can't investigate U.S. employees for an act they committed on the basis of Justice Department advice. Such an action, he explained, would send a message that interrogators could no longer safely rely on that advice going forward. Now, I digress a moment from Paul Kyle's writings. Who was it that presented the rulings? Who wrote the rulings? John Liu, or John Yu, and Alberto Gonzalez. They're the ones that said, no, torture's legal. It's okay. Here's your ruling. Torture's legal. Mukasey also refused John Conyers' request to see the Office of Legal Counsel opinions that authorized waterboarding because, according to Mukasey, those opinions discussed techniques of what remains, quote, a classified program, end quote. So Conyers then protested that every member of the committee was cleared to see top secret materials, but Mukasey was unmoved. But he said he would continue what he called ongoing discussions with the committee. Discussions of which Conyers seemed to be unaware. Now, Mukasey, a little interesting tidbits about this guy. He swore in Mayor-elect Giuliani in 1994 and again in 1998 in New York. Charles Schumer long supported Mukasey for the nation's top law enforcement spot. So when Gonzalez had to leave town, Schumer jumped out of the weeds with Mukasey. Mukasey spent 19 years as a judge after he was appointed by Ronald Reagan. As a judge, Mukasey presided over the trial of Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, who was convicted of bombing the World Trade Center in 1993 and plotting to hit other city landmarks. Mukasey also played a key role in America's response to the September 11 attacks, which brought down the World Trade Center towers just a few blocks from Mukasey's courthouse. In the days after the attacks, this is from opensecrets.org. In the days after the attacks, Mukasey and other New York judges worked behind closed doors, seeing some of the first material witnesses detained by federal authorities, particularly those five Israeli citizens referred to as the five dancing Israelis, who were celebrating as they videotaped the destruction of the World Trade Center from New Jersey. These five Israelis, two of whom were known Mossad agents to U.S. law enforcement and identified as such by the Jewish Forward, an American newspaper published for the Jewish community. Two were known Mossad agents to U.S. law enforcement. They were returned to Israel after having failed lie detector tests. Now, the way it's reported is this. The Israeli intelligence agents caught photographing the attacks on the World Trade Center were allowed to return to Israel when they divulged the purpose of their mission on a television program. Quote, "Our purpose was to document the event," one of them said. The resident who noticed them and called the FBI said, quote, "They seemed to be making a movie. The men were taking videos or photos of themselves with the World Trade Center burning in the background. What struck this woman were the expressions on the men's faces." She said, quote, "They were like happy, you know. They didn't look shocked to me. I thought it was very strange," end quote. So she found this behavior so suspicious that she wrote down the license plate number of the van and called the police. The FBI was soon on the scene, and a statewide bulletin was issued for the van. The van belonged to a Mossad front company called Urban Moving Systems. Around 4 p.m. on September 11th, the van was pulled over, and five Israelis, all between 22 and 27 years old, were arrested at gunpoint. One had $4,700 in cash hidden in his sock, while another carried two foreign passports. Box cutters were found in the van. One of the Israelis said, quote, "Our purpose was to document the event," end quote. The five men, disguised as moving men, working for a moving company, had posed for their video cameras with the burning towers in the background, smiling and celebrating by clicking their lighters. While that was going on, thousands of people trapped in the burning towers were being incinerated. Now, here's where Mukasey figures into this. First of all, let me offer just a little bit more here. Three of the five so-called dancing Israelis appeared on an Israeli television show to explain that they were sent to document the event, which seems a little strange. The jubilant Israeli intelligence agents caught photographing the attacks on the World Trade Center were allowed to return to Israel when they divulged the purpose of their mission on a radio program. Quote, "Our purpose was to document the event." The explosive story of the five suspicious Israelis seen celebrating while filming the attacks on the World Trade Center was first reported nationally shortly after September 11th. ABC News recently reported on this story and added a comment that deserves attention. Now, what I'm reading to you is from 2002. The Forward, a respected Jewish newspaper in New York, reported that at least two of the men were Israeli intelligence agents. The Israeli agents were first seen filming the attack on the World Trade Center while kneeling on the roof of a white van in the parking lot of a New Jersey apartment building across the river from Lower Manhattan. According to the police report, one of the men said they had been on the West Side Highway in Manhattan during the incident. One of them, the driver, said, quote, "We are Israeli. We are not your problem. Your problems are our problems. The Palestinians are the problem," end quote. The case was turned over to the FBI's Foreign Counterintelligence Section because the FBI believed Urban Moving Systems was a cover for an Israeli intelligence operation, according to ABC News. While the FBI searched the company's Weehawken, New Jersey offices, removing boxes of documents and a dozen computer hard drives, the owner of the company was allowed to flee the country. When FBI agents tried to interview this man, Dominic Souter, for a second time, they discovered that he had cleared out of his New Jersey home and fled to Israel. When ABC reporters visited Urban Moving Systems, quote, "It looked as if it had been shut down in a big hurry. Cell phones were lying around, office phones were still connected, and the property of dozens of clients remained in the warehouse," end quote. The Israelis had been held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn for overstaying their tourist visas and working in the United States illegally. 2 weeks after their arrest, an immigration judge ordered them to be deported. However, FBI and CIA officials in Washington put a hold on the case, according to ABC. The five men were held in detention for more than 2 months. Some of them were placed in solitary confinement for 40 days and given as many as 7 lie detector tests. One of them refused to take a lie detector test for 10 weeks and then failed. A deal was struck between Israeli and U.S. government officials after 71 days, and the five Israelis were put on a plane and deported to Israel. The detained Israelis discussed their experience in America on an Israeli talk show after their return home. One of the men said, quote, "The fact of the matter is we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document that event." Now, the interesting thing to me is that the judge who ordered the deportation of these five Israelis was Michael Mukasey. Now, is it all just nonsensical coincidence? I mean, does none of it matter? Is it just bat squeeze? Is it meaningless? But five people who could have been material witnesses. Now, one of the theories, of course, is that the Mossad, Israeli Mossad, knew the attack was going to occur because of their own following of these terrorists, their own experience with these guys, and did nothing to warn the American authorities about of what was about to happen. If that was the case, shouldn't they have been brought into a court of law in this country?
Listen to Right Wing Radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, Johnny Mills, then more likely the Mossad did know about the attack and did warn the U.S. officials, who then did nothing about it. Remember, John writes, the hair on fire warnings and the NIE about Osama determined to strike, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I would tend, because there would be absolutely nothing for the Israelis to gain by just silently standing back and watching an attack that they knew was going to occur in the United States. So, but the possibilities here are endless. It was Michael Mukasey, though, who ordered them deported. No testimony. Oh, they flunked lie detector tests? Oh, okay, we'll send them home. We don't want to know what they know. And why don't you want to know what they know? Don't ask. End of story. What? We have. We just got something from Hillary's. Hillary's giving a. Where is she? In Texas? This is we have an excerpt from her speech tonight. Can we cue that up and play it? This is Hillary Clinton tonight where is she, in Houston? Somewhere in Texas, giving this speech. Here's Hillary.
I am absolutely looking to Ohio and Texas because we know that those are states where they represent the...
Lollipop kill, the lollipop kill, the lollipop kill.
They represent...
The lollipop kill, the lollipop kill.
The kind of voters that are going to have to be convinced and won over in the general election.
And in the name of the Lollipop Hill, we wish to welcome you so much, Hillary.
And that is, that's from her speech tonight in Texas. I don't know, that sounds a little bit weird. Where have I heard that before? I don't know, this is some sense memory from a long time ago. I have no idea.
I believe it was Alberto Gonzalez's theme song when he was sworn in as an AG.
It was what?
Alberto Gonzalez's preferred song, you know, the song he requested at his swearing-in ceremony for Attorney General.
Oh, okay. regarding Mukasey and Michael Hayden, the director now of the CIA and all these people, and the torture stuff and the lies and the murder trials and the possible information, and I would use the word probable information that was that the Mossad knew about. And probably I think my emailer is right. I think they probably did try to pass on the information. Probably did pass it on. In addition to the NIE, Osama bin Laden determined to strike in the United States. Where would that have come from? I mean, intelligence is a huge funnel. Did that come from Israeli intelligence? Did it come from German intelligence? Did it come from British intelligence? It damn sure didn't come from American intelligence, did it? Or did it? Did it? Or did it? Who knows? Up is down, down is up. Hello. The clocks were striking 13 as Winston Smith made his way across. You know, that sort of thing, right? Well, if I'm going to go crazy, I'm going to take some of you people with me. Back to your phone calls for a moment here. Bill is calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on the Internet. Hey, Bill.
Bill of Rights, man. Cleveland, home of the stolen election. Yeah. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, Bill.
You know, today's a sad day in America.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
You know, I've been calling for 3 weeks straight trying to get in. I saw Scott Ritter in Cleveland, Ohio, about 3 weeks ago, January 24th. He was at the Cleveland Peace Action, brought him into the Trinity Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tip my hand what Scott Ritter talked about, other than it was about U.S. foreign policy and a discussion on a possible attack on Iran.
Right.
And Scott gave about a 20-minute intro and then, you know, questions. But there was another speaker, an elder statesman, we could say, who I didn't think, who's this guy? It was former U.S. diplomat Edward Peck, P-E-C-K.
Doesn't ring a bell for me.
It didn't either to me either. And I'll tell you, this guy stole the show.
Yeah.
And I would hope that you could possibly invite him onto your show, you know, call Ritter, say, hey, Ritter, get me Peck, and get him over there and talk to him for half an hour. I'll tell you, this guy was so engaging and really covered the Israeli-Palestinian problem. And you know, I think one of the things that he said that really shocked me is, like, you know, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. I think
right.
That was the quote that I got that night that just has stuck with me since then. And I would, you know, recommend to everyone within the sound of my voice to go see Mike Malloy and Scott Ritter when you guys appear together. And I would hope that maybe you might want to trade some barbs with Ambassador Peck, just to brush up and, you know, get your game on. You know what I mean, Mike?
It's Edward?
Edward Peck.
Okay, we'll check it out and see if we can...
There's a great article on the web about him, and he'll come up a whole bunch of... He's been in, like, foreign policy matters, deep foreign policy matters for... Oh, I'd say probably the past 30 years.
All right. Well, you've got my curiosity piqued now. Bill, we'll check it out. And thanks, man. I appreciate the tip and also the plug about people coming to the event on the 23rd. We'll be back after the break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Well, Barack Obama has now won 21 states. Hillary Clinton has won 10. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Ken in Loxahatchee, Florida, just sent this to me. What we were talking about, the telecom vote today, that stripped out of the Senate version of that bill responsibility, an amendment to hold the telecoms responsible for their lawbreaking. And, you know, a lot of people have emailed and said, well, you know, don't worry, there's still the House. The House didn't have that in their version, and now it goes to conference committee, and it'll probably go back in. And my position is no, it won't, that this legitimized absolute lawbreaking by corporate America. This was, I don't know, maybe the first act of Congress in modern times to make it legitimate for corporations to violate the law with impunity, to the extent that any violations are retroactively declared exempt from prosecution. That part to me is just unbelievable. If they wanted to say, okay, from this point on, the telecoms will be held responsible. But no. From this point back and this point forward, no responsibility at all. Corporate America has risen above the law. Dick Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not illegal. That's been changed now. If corporations do it, it's not illegal. Well, Ken in Loxahatchee, Florida, just sent this to me. A Bush administration plan to crack down on contract fraud. You know, corporations that do business with the government. Well, it's got a multi-billion dollar loophole in it. The proposal to force companies to report abuse of taxpayer money will not apply to work done overseas, including projects to secure and rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan. Do you understand what this means? Of course you do. You're way ahead of me. The Justice Department, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, wanted to force companies to notify the government if they find evidence of contract abuse of more than $5 million. All voluntary. You know, just, hey, look, guys, if you find thievery of more than $5 million, let us know. Okay? Failure to do that could make a company ineligible for future government work. Do they get punished? No. They are just told, well, you can't do business with them anymore. Okay, well, then we'll change our name. Oh, okay, do that. We'll assign a new board of directors. Oh, okay, do that. Son of a bitches. Now listen, it gets worse. The proposed rules, which are in the final approval stages, specifically exempt, quote, contracts to be performed outside the United States, end quote. Now, this is according to a notice published last month in the Federal Register. A watchdog group called Taxpayers Against Fraud said the overseas exemption raises suspicions. Patrick Burns, who's a spokesman for this watchdog group, said, quote, I hate to sound cynical, but what lobbyist working for a contractor in Iraq wanted this get-out-of-jail card? End quote. Well, sure. A spokesman for the White House Office of Management and Budget, which oversees federal procurement policy, declined to answer questions about the planned exemption of overseas contractors from the beefed-up requirements for reporting fraud. No, I don't think I'll answer. OMB spokeswoman Jane Lee said, this is a proposed rule. We are currently reviewing the public comments that were submitted. Public comments? What, are they holding a meeting in your neighborhood next week to see how you feel about a loophole billions of dollars wide where it concerns fraud, theft, bribery? Oh, God. Calm down, Mike. Following the U.S.-led invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, the United States poured billions of dollars into projects to secure and rebuild the two nations. With the money came the fraud. Billions of dollars are missing. The Justice Department so far has charged 44 people with bribery, conspiracy, money laundering, other contract fraud crimes related to the government wartime spending. Some of the cases came from the Office of Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. They have 52 investigations ongoing into bribes, false billing, contract fraud, kickback, and theft. The Army Criminal Investigation Command has 90 criminal investigations underway into alleged contract fraud in Iraq, Kuwait, and Afghanistan. An estimated $350 billion is spent on government contracts annually, according to the White House Office of Federal Procurement Policy. With money going to contractors and subcontractors both foreign and based in the U.S., experts say it's nearly impossible to pinpoint how much of it is spent overseas. Yeah, so if you can't define the crime, if you can't follow the money, how do you prosecute? That's A. B, any money that goes overseas, any contracting overseas, is exempt. Contractors oppose stricter regulations, saying they're going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to hire auditors and conduct additional internal reviews in search of fraud. Really? In search of fraud? You mean you have a company, you unscrupulous Republican son of a bitch, that will steal billions of dollars, that deals in billions of dollars and might steal some of it? You're kidding. And to conduct a search for fraud will cost you tens of thousands of dollars? Oh, pity. Well then, we'll just declare you exempt too. Here's how we'll do it. We'll just say that the billions spent overseas is not subject to any investigations or oversight. Go for it, boys! Chris Braddock, Director of Procurement Policy for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, one of the real bad bastards, says, "We're talking a complete revamping of their internal systems, and the more companies hear about this, the more worried they get. Any company doing business with the government is going to be affected by this." And then Mr. Braddock went on to say that the voluntary system in place now has been fairly successful. How many billions are missing? What's the latest? 10? 15? 30? 50? 100? Billions of dollars that have been stolen? And now the Bush crime family says, "Oh, well, we're going to crack down on this. All right, let's get the Justice Department to issue a directive here that says companies that do that don't investigate any theft or fraud or crime or bribery over $5 million, nice round figure there, $5 billion. If it's under $5 million, screw it. You know, they can put it in their pockets, so we don't care. You know, maybe 100 separate incidences of $5 million apiece. That's easy. That's half a billion right there, right? But it's under $5 million each individual. You know, it's kind of like the difference between petty theft and grand theft, right? Okay, now we're cooking. All right. Now, any of this that occurs in Iraq or Afghanistan, don't worry about it. We gave the telecoms a big bonus today. Let's give the foreign contractors a big bonus, too. Who's next?" The oil companies? No, they were there to begin with when they got the tax breaks. Because, you know, it is so difficult right now to buy equipment to explore for oil. And God knows the return when you explore for oil, the return on your investment is, well, it's kind of risky, you know, unless oil is over $30 a barrel. It's what? Oh, it's near 100. Well, we need the tax breaks anyway. So which sort of theft here is worse? The theft by ExxonMobil, stealing from the American taxpayer, because those companies, the oil companies, do not pay corporate income tax and get tax breaks and get all the breaks that they get, and they wind up last year with reporting $40 billion. One company reporting $40 billion. God knows how much they stole in profit. Is that worse, or is this worse? The kind of fraud perpetrated by companies like, Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, Blackwater, Dyncorp. Oh, gosh. The list goes on and on. Is that worse? Which is more egregious? Which is more of a ripoff? Which is more in your face? We don't give a goddamn about your laws. We are corporations. We will do as we please. And when we are caught, we will prevail upon our allies in the House and the Senate, in the Supreme Court and the executive branch, in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, to pass laws that exempt us from future and past criminal activity. And if you don't like it, call your congressman.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy. And now...
And now... And now... All right, back to your phone calls. If you like. All right, let's do that. Kathy is calling from Davis, California, listening on KSAC. Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Hey.
I just had to correct you on the Senate vote for the FISA thing today.
Yeah.
The three non-voting, according to the roll call, were Clinton, Graham, and Obama.
Now, what Obama didn't vote on, it's my understanding, was the final vote on the bill. He was there. I mean, it's all over the news tonight. You could see him and McCain standing in the well of the Senate. He did vote. He voted no for the amendment that would have given the telecoms immunity. He said no immunity. Hold them responsible. So
But for the final vote, he didn't vote then.
But at that point, it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm sure somebody could make an argument. It does make a difference, but the key part of the FISA bill, where it concerns the telecoms, was to not grant them immunity for their criminal activity, their criminal action. Now there were a series of votes on this thing. It does get confusing. I've asked three or four emailers, tonight to. To send me an explanation of this, because like you, I'm just going, like, well, wait a minute. He voted yes. Well, no, he voted no. Well, no, he didn't vote. Well, wait. And it'll make you insane. But
yeah.
The way it's been explained to me is that the critical part of the bill, which would have granted immunity to the telecoms, Barack Obama voted no. Don't grant them immunity. John McCain voted yes. Do grant them immunity. Hillary Clinton was not there. But if you watch, if you watch any news, but there were video all over the place, obviously, because Barack Obama and John McCain are the two front runners now, of the two of them standing there in the well of the Senate today when the vote was being tallied.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I was assuming that they were all the same, the
no.
final vote and for the amendment.
No. This is the maddening part of this. A no vote... In so many instances, when they're voting for cloture, which I guess means no filibuster, when they're voting for a filibuster, if they do that, or when it gets so damn confusing, because you can have one bill and then you have all the amendments, and some of these senators or members of the House will vote one way on an amendment and then come back and vote the opposite way on the bill because the amendment's not there, or they vote the same. It's just, it's maddening, because it leaves people like me and possibly you scratching our heads trying to figure out who voted for what. How did this happen?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah,
right. That we only have
If you go to Roll Call is a good website. It's a good publication. If you go to Senate, www.senate.gov, go to the Senate website itself and take a look at the. You have to hunt. I've got the link here in front of me, but. As a matter of fact, if you will send me, if you just email me immediately and say something to the effect of, "Hi, this is Kathy. Send me the absolute URL. I'll send it back to you."
Okay.
So you don't have to hunt for it. Okay.
I'll go look for it. I'll go send you some email.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate you checking in. I hope I have that right. I don't know anymore. Mary is calling from Mississippi, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Mary, welcome to the program.
Great. Hello. I'm so thrilled to talk with you, and I usually do, like, once a year. But I have to limit, you know, or else I call you every night, and
yeah.
That would be too much even for me.
Yeah, we can't have that, no.
But I am hooked on the show. Anyway, I have a different take, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to get off and listen, because it's...
Okay.
I'm a conspiracy nut, I'll admit it, you know, straight up. I probably need papers to say that, but I find it ominous that people who lied, cheated, and killed to get into power would be kind of sitting back and letting a black man, a white woman, a fanatic, and an old man represent our choices. And so I got to thinking about this, and I said, well, I guess they just don't care. Well, why don't they care? Because he doesn't intend to give it up. You know, once you got the treasury and you got an army at your back and power, and he's already shown that the Constitution and laws mean nothing, who's to make him give it up?
Well, that's true. That's one way of looking at it. Another way, staying with the conspiracy idea, because like you, I'm a conspiracy freak too, I guess. And that is, it doesn't make any difference if a green android, a black male, a white woman, a hermaphrodite, or maybe even an orangutan.
Exactly.
Was elected president, because they really don't have the power anymore.
Exactly.
So.
I just don't think he's going to give it up, but I'll... get off and listen, and thanks
All right.
for your time.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Gasoline's in short supply. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make...
Here comes the revolution. Time for retribution.
You're the pundit. I'm just a simple president.
Revolution. Time for retribution.
It's about 25 before the hour. You're listening to the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Can I mention once again the gig sent for Saturday, February 23rd? That's a week from Saturday coming. Scott Ritter and I will be in Phoenix for a fun event sponsored by 1480 KPHX and Nova M Radio Network. It's going to be an absolute blowout, so I hope you'll get tickets and come. I think the tickets are less than $20, less than $15, I think. You want information and you want to buy some tickets, go to 1480kphx.com. And I'm really looking forward to seeing people being there. I have a feeling it's going to be a sellout. I don't know how big the venue is, but I would pay $14.80 to hear Scott Ritter speak. So, you know, you get Scott Ritter for $14.75 and you get me for a nickel. I would. I think that's what it is, $14.80. I would pay that to hear Scott Ritter speak. So anyway, hope you're going to come. Go to 1480kphx.com and get the information and join us. That's a week from Saturday, February 23rd, in Phoenix. Back to your phone calls. Arnold is calling from Jacksonville, Florida, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, man. I tell you, listening to you is like being on a roller coaster, man. You can have me, man, you can have me down in the dumps listening to what this Senate did today. Yeah. And then you come right back and play Hillary Clinton's speech from El Paso, Texas.
Yeah, where the Munchkins just jumped in.
Yeah, man, I tell you, it just uplifts me to have listen to your show every night.
It is like a roller coaster, isn't it?
It is emotional roller coaster ride with
it,
you.
It is. Well, we always hope that by the end of the night, Arnold, we've left you a little bit more up than you were down. I guess.
Well, it's always the case, Mike. You always leave me up, and that's why I listen to you every night.
Well, thank
you. Listen,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when you said Jim Webb, I almost cried. I'm a Brooklyn cry. I met this man personally, shook his hand. Mm. He was up there working for the truck drivers in this DOT meeting back there last year, man. He was a champion for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear you tell us, he was part of this gang or whatever they were doing this to us. Like, I got high hopes for this man, Jim Webb.
I can't believe that Webb now, on two important votes, one about continuing the war in Iraq and on Bush's terms, and two, on the single most sweeping act of invading the privacy of Americans occurred today, and Jim Webb voted to invade the privacy of Americans. It's astonishing, Arnold.
Halliburton and Kellogg Brown Rukin, they don't have to move to that deep Dubai or whatever they're going to
mm-hmm.
try to hide. Just stay right here.
They stay here now.
Stay right here because you got the United States Senate, the Democrats. Harry Reid said, come on, you can stay here. You ain't got to go hide from us. We're not going to do anything to you.
Isn't that the truth?
It just makes me sick, man. It makes me sick. You know, a long time ago, I live in North Carolina, and he's not that far from, I'm not that far from the border of Virginia and everything. And
mm-hmm.
I was encouraging people, come on, you got to get this man in the Senate. We got to get this man in the Senate.
Right.
And, I had my wife, after he got into the Senate, I had my wife email Harry Reid. I said, you don't have to be a panty waist anymore. You don't have to be a little weasel, a little whiny weasel no more. Just walk around. Be seen everywhere you go. Be seen with Jack Webb and some of these new guys came into the Senate. And you know, walk around with him. Be around with him and learn something, you know. Because this man, he's even armed, you hear me? He's got a lump in his pocket, you know.
I hear that.
But I tell you, man, it just makes me sick. It makes me sick, these people. I just don't know what else to do, man.
I don't either, except to, you know, I've been saying the past few nights that, I don't know, the past few shows, I don't even know anymore, that, you know, I'm not ready to give up hope. And even though every single candidate we have now on both sides seem to be corporate candidates, I don't know anymore. One minute I think it should be Hillary because she knows how to fight these jackasses, and I think, no, wait a minute, she's part of the problem. Then I think it should be Obama, and then I think, no, he's they'll slice and dice him, and besides, he's sponsored to a large degree by corporate America. John McCain is nothing but an insane man. I swear to God, I don't think he's playing with a full deck. I don't know what to do anymore except keep hope. Some of the people advising Barack Obama are the kind of right wingers that you would expect around George Bush. There are a couple of them who want to privatize Social Security. I thought that issue had been settled. The people advising Hillary want more war. They want more contract fraud. They want to make it easier for the medical industrial establishment to continue to deny us single payer health coverage. I don't know what the hell to do. You think you don't know what to do, Arnold? I don't have an idea. I wish you would show me the way out of this.
There's no only way out of this, man, is what we always say. The American people got to get up off their hands, get their hands up their butts, and get in the streets. You were just talking about that the other night about those old Soviet bloc countries. Mm-hmm. When their elections got robbed, they got into the streets, man, and they went crazy. What's happening down there in Kenya right now? Because people can't stand it no more.
Yeah,
they don't want to take it anymore. You know, and it's just because of crying shame.
Well, one of the go ahead.
And in honor of those people, Mike, do me one favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you used a long time ago. You used to do the polka,
who stole the Kishka.
In honor of those people there in those Soviet bloc countries who got gold nads that the United States people don't have, could you play that one time for me? You ain't got to do it tonight, but I haven't heard it in such a long time.
We'll do it before the week is up, I promise. I'm too damn tired to do it tonight.
Because
when I play that, I have to get up and dance.
You got to be in your crazy mood, too, you know. Right?
Yeah, I'm tired tonight. I'm tired tonight, Arnold.
Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for checking in. Take care. All right, take care. You know, I hate to admit it because I know a lot of people out there who kind of tolerate this program. They're way far left than I am, I guess. I don't know. So when I say one of the reasons of all the candidates that have been out there that are still left standing, Barack Obama probably gives me a little more hope than the other ones is not necessarily Barack Obama, although I'm still trying to understand how much of him is his ability to be a good politician. He's a great public speaker. Hillary Clinton is not. He knows how to make contact with people in a real direct way that just opens people up. Hillary Clinton can't. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, how much of that is substance in Barack Obama? How much of it is just form? And I keep thinking, well, maybe Barack Obama's candidacy will inspire enough people, not necessarily his advisors, although you never know if he does get elected, the people he would put in cabinet positions and the people who would wind up really advising him as president. But aside from that his candidacy, which whether you support him or don't support him, you have to admit his candidacy has electrified this country for a number of reasons. First of all, he's a young man. He has so motivated young people. How many times have we talked about this just on this stupid ass program about how young people have just dropped out, said to hell with it. I can't deal with what you baby boomers have done or what you people just below the boomers, what you've done. You know, how are we supposed to correct it? And then along comes somebody like Barack Obama and bam, all of a sudden the young people, black, white, gay, straight, all of them, are just saying, wait a minute, here's somebody that I can connect with. So maybe it is all flash. Maybe it is all form and no substance with Barack Obama. But maybe it'll inspire some of these young people to say, wait a second, there is a chance to get this republic back. So in the worst case scenario, where hope is just kind of like disappearing, that's what I kind of cling to now. Is the fact that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton hasn't inspired young people. McCain hasn't. Edwards didn't. Kucinich didn't. The guys I supported to begin with. It's been Barack Obama who has gotten people's adrenaline up. If I can believe what I see reported on television, and I'm not talking about as it's filtered through the pundits. I mean the video of Barack inspiring these people. And what I see when I see a crowd of Barack, I see some people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, but I also see just this incredible number of young people in their 20s. And if this country is to be turned around, that's where it's got to come from. It's not going to come from people like me. It's not going to come from people over the age of, 50 or 60. We have our role. But the energy, the inspiration, it always comes from young people. It always comes from that generation says, wait a second, let me do something, damn it.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky.
25 years ago this came out? Time just rips by when you're having fun, right? Yeah, this is the 25th anniversary of the release of Thriller. So what? Thanks to the crew tonight to put the program together. Ian Huff, who engineered, also answered your calls. Billy Foster, our technical director. Ben Birch, the podcast manager. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Bob Alexander is our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf is our writer in residence, although she doesn't live here. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. And don't forget, Saturday, February 23rd, meet Scott Ritter and me, KPHX, Nova M, Phoenix, all right? Back to your phone calls. Diane is calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on the Internet. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Tom.
That's okay.
Hi, Mike.
That's okay.
I actually went to your the website on the bill and looked it up, and the amendment was to strike the provisions providing immunity from civil liability to electronic communications by service providers for certain assistance. That was the Dodd Amendment. It was put in by Chris Dodd, and it was sponsored by both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, among others.
Yeah.
So she didn't vote for it.
Right.
She didn't vote at all. He voted for the amendment he co-sponsored.
Right.
And then both of them didn't vote for the final bill.
Yeah, I think it was irrelevant at that point. What was extremely important was to make sure that the amendment holding the telecoms responsible for their criminal activity, that was what was key.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why. And I honestly don't. I know a lot of people, consider me to be a Hillary basher, which I'm not. I've just said that this is not the candidate I would vote for. But I don't know why, when she was in Washington today, that she didn't show up and at least vote, except to the obvious, and that would be that she doesn't want a record out there so that she can be attacked one way or the other.
But,
and this is the candidate who went after Barack Obama for all of his votes in the Illinois Senate when he just voted present.
Right, but why would one co-sponsor a bill and then not?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I didn't mind Hillary until I thought she ran a terrible campaign, and I thought it was extremely negative towards Obama.
Yeah, which is not really all that unusual. Politics is a blood sport. And I think there's nobody in this country more equipped to play it than either Bill or Hillary Clinton. And I don't mean that necessarily as an insult. It has gotten vicious thanks to the Republicans. The Republicans turned political contests into like a mano-a-mano death duel or something. And look what they did to McCain back in 2000. Republicans to another Republican. Look at what they're doing to him today,
yeah,
Republicans.
And he loves it now.
Well, I think it's becoming clear that America has let me rephrase that, that a lot of people in America have unplugged themselves from scum like Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity and the rest of these morons. They've unplugged themselves and said, wait a second, we've been listening to you guys for so long. We're tired of you. We're tired of your policies. We're tired of your rhetoric. We're tired of your corruption of the political system. So we're going to react by voting for McCain while all of you people are telling us not to.
Right.
And if anything, to me, that's a good thing. That's, not that I support McCain, but it's a good thing that people, Republicans, are not listening to these shills like Rush Limbaugh anymore.
Yeah, it's great. And also I want to thank you for going through that, the Israelis, the whole narrative of the Israelis that got arrested. I remember reading about that at the time, thinking to myself, let's see, who's going to benefit with the an attack on the Twin Towers. Oh, let me think. Israel. And then those five guys got arrested.
Well, on the other hand, I mean, that's one way to look at it. On the other hand, these guys might have been part of an intelligence operation that not these five in particular notified the U.S. government, but Israeli intelligence, although they've been historically, they've been real reluctant to share intelligence with the United States. In fact, the Mossad and Israeli intelligence has targeted the United States for the past half century. So, and you know, people can make an argument. Well, what the hell do you expect them to do, Malloy? When you get in bed with a demon like the U.S. government, you better protect yourself. But the best case scenario to me, in terms of not dumping too hard on the Israelis, would be that they tried to warn the U.S. and the U.S. Intelligence community or Bush or whatever said, thanks for the tip-off, but we're going to ignore this one because, you know, we're kind of looking forward to another Pearl Harbor. So, you know, you pay your money and you take your choice. There's no way that you and I will ever know what the truth is of that day. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, very generous interpretation.
Well, sometimes you got to do that. All right. Thanks, Diane. I appreciate you checking in. All right.
Thanks for being there.
Okay. Take care. Take care. No, you know my feelings about the Likudniks in Israel who are so intransigent, who are so insistent on continuing this horror, this Bantustan that the Palestinian territories have become. And I'm the first to jump up and say the Likudniks would be involved in something like, oh, good, the United States just got hit. Now they'll be more prone to support us no matter what. On the other hand, maybe they did make the effort. Maybe they did try. And the U.S. government said, yeah, okay, sure, all right. See you later. I don't know. I just... I don't know anything. But the only thing I know is that my 3.5-year-old Molly is a pretty neat kid, and I like hanging out with her. That I know. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.